Now, let me kind of diagram this. I'm getting this a little better in my mind now.
She'll go over by that road, you can tell.
Yeah, I've been over there a couple times, and now I'm going to have to go back because I didn't. I had it, see.
Well, Stone Manor is on up here, see.
Mm-hmm. It's up here?
Yeah, see, and then that road kind of angles.
Right. And kind of like this, this thing followed, this, like here's a 38th Street Bridge, let's say. And then this fellow I think you're talking about named Stone lives kind of in here.
Yeah,
there's a long drive that goes back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then right along here, the river kind of goes over this way, if I'm not mistaken. And in here kind of is what I'd call bottom land. Or,
well, that don't go over too far there.
No, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But there's land in here between the road and the river, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Up in here.
All right.
Somewhere there. Well, it might have been down about where that is there.
Now, just the gate was about right in here, let's say. Is that about right or not? Is that beyond that turn or is it farther up this way?
Well, it was closer up the...
Up this way?
Up the other way there.
And this was all woods in here?
No, there was fields in here. We farmed some of it. For Stone's property come over in here so far, and then there was some corn that we put in there, and then there's a bottom, the ground that went across here to the river, why, all that corn field down in there to the creek we farmed.
Was that the field that this fellow crawled across?
Well, he crawled across from where his car was, across to this river bank there.
Was there anything planted in there?
No, there's just weeds
just
in
weeds?
There. Just kind of a three-cornered place like it. You couldn't plant nothing back
but
in
that
there.
Was between the road and the river?
Yeah.
And was there quite a few trees along the river?
Yeah, there's trees all the way along that river.
Okay. That's good. That's very good. Okay, now
this will be, if you go over there, you go in from 38 here, it'll be the last gate there on the right. There should be two big steel posts sitting there by the woods. And that's the last gate before you get up to the Stone Manor.
Now, could you see this car that was sitting off the road from your house?
Not as dark as well.
Okay. If the sun were shining, if it were during the day, would you be able
if
to see it?
If it was during the day, we might have been able to.
Do you know what kind of car that car was?
Nope.
Have any idea? Okay. Did you ever see the two cars sitting still at any time?
Two cars.
Yeah, the car that the people fled in and this car that was parked. Did you ever see the
No,
two
I never seen neither one of them.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because we never even come up to his car. Where he was back the road somewhere there, like, I don't know how far from his car. I don't even know remember seeing his car either.
Okay.
Because we wasn't paying much attention to his car. We were interested in him, and he had his head all busted open.
How?
And we found a club. I don't remember whether we found that club there, somewhere there close by the road, or whether it was over by the river bank that had the blood on.
Was it just a stick?
Well, it was pretty good size.
I mean, was it something that somebody had made and brought with them, or something they'd picked up?
Well, something I think they'd picked up is about an inch and a half diamond or something like that, and they'd hit him over the head with it there.
Now, the first time your dad got in the car and left, and apparently went this way into town.
Yeah, he went back after them guys went by. He went and got in his car and went into
what kind of car was that?
Model T. Dad's car was a Model T Ford coupe.
The girl came all the way up your drive to the house? Did she get clear to the house? Do you know?
Oh, she got up to the front of the house there and told us about them things.
On the porch, or?
Yeah. And then we.
Did you see her?
Yeah, we seen her, but I wouldn't know her now if I'd see her again or anything.
Well, you, just to best your knowledge, what did she say, if anything? You said her sweetheart.
Well, said something about she needed some help. Her boyfriend had been hurt or shot or something.
She was crying? Is she hysterical?
Hysterical. Claimed to be, but then a lot of them seemed to think that she was in on it.
Do you have any idea how she was dressed?
She had a dress on, but I don't know what kind it was or anything.
Okay. And then your mother and yourself and she went back down to the road?
Yeah.
I think
it's... Yeah, because my other two sisters was married.
Okay, and you went down the road and you walked down the road till you found him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was laying on the riverside of the road at the edge of the road.
Yeah.
All right. Say, this is the road. Was he, if this is the road, was he laying like this, or was he laying parallel with the road, or was he just, do you have any recollection whether he's laying part on the road?
He was laying
parallel with it?
No.
Part of
The other direction, like that, where
like
he crawled.
This.
Yeah, where he crawled from the road over to
was
it.
Was he laying face down? Do you recall?
I don't know whether he was laying face down or laying on his side. But we seen the blood all over his face. We washed his face and raised his head up like a wash it, his face around there, and then we could see that his head was busted open there. And,
did this girl help while you were doing that?
There.
Did she help wash him, or?
I imagine she did in the excitement. I don't just recollect whether she did or not.
Did anybody put anything under his head, or did she hold his head, or hold it in her lap, or did she just stand there, or do you recall anything about that?
I don't recall any reactions to that.
Do you remember any time during this process of seeing another car along that road with the headlights on while you were down on the road? Was there anybody who came by?
Nobody come by while we was there until the sheriff and them come in.
Do you recall seeing a car prior to the time you went down there after your dad had shot at the other car, by any chance?
No, I don't remember seeing another car going down there or coming by there.
Okay.
Because if they had the girl probably would have tried to stop them to...
I think she'd already done that.
To get that.
Did he say anything at all?
Who told you she might have already done that?
Because there's a... there is another man and woman who apparently came up on this thing somewhere right at the end when it was happening. When they were accosting the two girls or something, and they fled in the car. And they went into town and told the police. Apparently they got there either before or right at the same time about your dad was trying to get somebody. And then the police came back out because those two people, their name was Hedgewood, they were witnesses, they were subpoenaed as witnesses in the grand jury proceedings. And I have a sneaking suspicion, and they...
they must have come in from that way, and they must have turned around.
Either that, or they may have been sitting there.
Or they may have been sitting there on down there, because there was, as I recollect, there was no car come by there.
Well, I think probably what's had to happen, they've probably been parked out there someplace,
too. And I never did see nobody out there when we went down there.
Yeah. Okay. Do you recollect him saying anything, the guy who was shot, did he ever say anything at all, or, and if so,
not I know of.
Was he conscious at all, or eyes open, or closed, or?
He was conscious and still alive.
I see.
But he wasn't saying anything that I can remember.
Did she try to say anything to him, do you recall, the girl?
I don't recall her trying to say anything to him either.
You you remember any conversation that went on between your mother and you? Did your mother give you any directions, or did she just kind of take charge of the thing?
Not that I know of. We just tried to, like that, we just tried to clean him up and help him there. And I don't know whether we put the towel in under his head afterwards or not. I don't know.
Okay.
But then it wasn't too long until the sheriff and the ambulance and them got out there.
Was there an ambulance that came? Do you know?
There was an ambulance that came out and picked him up.
There was? Okay.
Well, the sheriff didn't have none.
Yeah.
Or the sheriff couldn't pick him up in a car. I'm pretty sure there's an ambulance that came with them and took him back into town. And he lived, he went to the hospital, and he lived till the next day. And they tried to question him and things, but whether they got anything out of him or not, I don't know. But then the next day, I'm pretty sure it was the next day, my sister was here Sunday, and she's trying to argue me about it, but it was that night. But it seemed to me like it was the next day that somebody come to him, come to Dad. I don't remember whether they come out there at the house or whether he was in town. It might have been that night that they came to him, but it couldn't hard have been. Because hell, they was up at the police station and things. But they asked him to get the sheriff's answer, said that they were coming in the next night to lynch him. And they said that they asked Dad to go get the sheriff's answer. So they must have come to the out the house or something the next day, because they asked Dad to go to the sheriff and get his answer about lynching him. Because they was coming in to lynch him, yeah.
Did your dad come in
the next night, and
did your dad talk to him about that?
Yeah, he got in the car and he went in and asked the sheriff about it. And the sheriff told him Jake Campbell was sheriff then. And Jake Campbell told him, says, well, we're law-abiding citizens. We'll have to abide by the law. So then Dad was supposed to meet somebody out to 18th and Adams Street. And they didn't tell him who they were or nothing. He says, how would I know who to be or who to meet? And they said, well, you be out there at a certain time, and there'd be somebody there to see you. So he went out there at 18th Street and stopped and waited, and that's why someone come up and asked him if he got the sheriff's answer, and he told him he did. And told them what he said, and they went back and got in the car and took off. And I don't know who they were or anything, and then Dad come home.
He didn't know them either?
He didn't know who they were. They'd come and ask him.
Had they called him on the phone, or they...
No, we didn't have no phone then.
So in other words, they had come out the house and that
I'm
day...
I'm pretty sure that they had to come out to the house.
Yeah, they had to.
Because they wouldn't have come to him up at the police station or up there at the sheriff's office or jail to see him.
Well, wonder what
because
time...
Because after they'd captured him, everybody was up town there and wondering what the heck was going on and things, see.
What time of day would that have been that he would have talked to the sheriff? Have any idea?
It would have had been in the morning sometime, I think. Because the sheriff would have had time to got him out of there and took him somewhere else.
What time
but
was...
But he didn't. He said, we're law-abiding citizens. We have to abide by the law.
What time of day was... what time of day was this meeting out at 18th and Adams? Do you have any idea?
It was after he was supposed to went up and seen the sheriff. Whether that was the morning or in the afternoon, I don't remember.
But somebody did come out the house to see him.
But someone came to see him. that he didn't know, and wanted him to go get the answer, sheriff's answer. And he said, "We'll meet you at 18th and Adams Street."
Did you see these people come to the house, or do you recall them coming to the house? But you
no,
just remember
I don't.
Him telling about it.
That's why I can't say. It's been so darn long. Things I can't recollect that they, whether they come to the house or where they met Dad and told him that.
Did your sister remember that too? To go get
the sheriff's answer, huh?
Did your sister remember that too, you said?
Well, now she might remember some of it.
I thought you said she was arguing with you about it.
Well, this one sister, Vera, I'll give you her name or her address and phone number. She lives at Fort Wayne. They were down here Sunday. And incidentally, she's got a picture of the hanging.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Now, she won't give it to you. She might be able to make a copy off it some way.
Just let me see it,
maybe. And get it. But she lived right there in that building on the corner from where the jail was here, and there's an alley here, and 3rd Street ran up this way, and just from the jail up to 3rd, or up to Adams Street was about a block, and then just cat or corner across there was the jail, or was the courthouse there. Well, this building, this alley running here, they had their car parked back there in the alley, sister did, and there's a building that runs from there out to 3rd Street.
Yeah.
And she lived up in that building at that time.
She said
that she seen a lot of that.
Well, I'd like to talk to her.
So I asked her if she would like to talk to you about it. And I said, I don't know what he wants it for. I said, for history or for what? I forget what he said he wanted it for. But I asked her about the pictures, because that's what I wanted to see about who had them. I know that some of us had them. Had some pictures taken. They took pictures in. And the next day, or for a few days afterwards, that road was covered with people.
Out in front of your house?
Yeah, that road where this Dieter boy was shot, that road, the traffic was just like a state road. Cars were coming down along there all the time, wanting to see where it happened at and everything. And that Dieter boy was strong enough that he could have whipped all three of the covered guys if they hadn't hit him over the head with a club. He's a big, husky fella.
That's what I understand.
He worked at the Spear Metal place there on corner of Branson and 18th Street.
Do you know whether or not your dad went up there that night of the lynching?
I don't remember whether he did or not.
When did you hear about the lynching? Do you remember? Next day or?
We heard about it the next day or after it was over with. But I think Dad went up there, I ain't sure. Because it was something like that. He'd be that nibby enough to go up there and see it. But then they took, they come down there and took pictures. Bye, honey. Be careful. They come down there, different ones come through there, take pictures of where it happened at and everything. And then that night up there, I guess, we couldn't go up, as kids couldn't. They wouldn't let us go up. But we heard, or somehow, I don't know how we heard about it, but we heard there was going to lynch him. And there was, we heard too that there was supposed to have been a lot of cars coming in from 37 in from Indianapolis with colored fellows and things, and there was a law out there to south of Marion to meet them, and would head them back to Indianapolis and keep them stirring up things.
And the National Guard came in.
Well, I don't know. I never heard about the National Guard.
Did you know Jake Campbell?
Yeah.
What kind of guy was he?
I've seen him enough times. Well, I don't know. I don't know hardly. He's a big, heavy-set, dope-bellied guy. I know that. But as far as personality and things, I don't know too much about it. He was employment manager after he was sheriff out to RCA, or out to Farnsworth, and I went out there to see about a job at times, and he sat there and talked to me about things, but I never did get no job or nothing.
I'm gonna read off some names of some people, and you may or may not know them. If you do, tell me what you know about them, what they look like, physical characteristics, so on, whatever you remember.
Or that's something I couldn't hardly do to tell.
Well,
how somebody,
some of these you
like.
May not even know. They're just names. Les Andrews.
Well, he was a detective, and he was a big, heavy-set fella.
Big, heavy-set fella?
Yeah.
What color hair? Have any idea?
Light, I think.
Do you wear glasses, you know?
I don't remember whether Les wore glasses or not. Always liked him pretty well. He always brought horses out there and pastured horses on our ground.
Would he, did he swear?
Well, I imagine that he would. He'd been a detective and things.
Okay, I just trying, anything you remember about
I don't remember him swearing out there or anything, but then I imagine he would or did if he was a detective.
Have any scars on him? Face scars of any kind? Any particular
I couldn't tell you.
Any peculiarities about him that you remember? Chew tobacco, cigars, cigarettes, anything you remember about him?
No, I don't remember anything.
Okay.
Like you had about him.
Did you ever hear of a fellow by the name of Emory Applegate? No. Did you ever hear of a lady by the name of Mrs. W.T. Bailey?
Bailey?
She would be a black woman. Dr. W.T. Bailey was her husband. No?
A woman?
Uh-huh.
No, that woman, the doctor that you doctored with, that she was a nurse to, wouldn't be, she wasn't a Bailey.
What about Ray Baker? There's no fellow by the name of Ray Baker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ever hear of a fellow by the name of Frank Ball? Hoot Ball?
Frank Ball.
He was the father of the girl you talked to that night.
Father of the girl that I talked to?
Or came up to your house. Her name was Mary Ball.
Oh. I know that. I know that. I heard that name of Ball before, but I don't know him.
Okay.
Probably no relation to Norm.
Oh, no.
Did you ever know an Amos Bannister?
Mm-mm.
An Amos Barnes?
Not to know of.
Okay. Did you ever know a fellow by the name of Charles Belleville? Called him Whitey?
No.
Robert Bashar?
No.
Owned a pool room. Thurman Bittinger?
He was a lawyer. I didn't know too much about him.
Albert Blair?
I'd heard of the name of Bittinger.
Albert Blair?
Huh.
Okay. Kyle F. Bowman.
Kyle F. Bowman.
Some of these people, there might be no reason for you to know.
I don't know him either.
Philip Boyd.
Phil Boyd.
Frank Brandon.
Not unless he was the one to run the Brandon Electric Company. I don't know.
It's his brother, I think. Drysdale Brandon. Officer Ray Bright.
Ray who?
Bright.
Bright.
Police officer.
No, I'm named Bright.
Okay. John R. Brown.
No.
Harley Burden.
Yeah, Harley Burden, he was a colored fella. I think. Harley Burden.
Police officer.
He was a police officer. But he got shot, I think, didn't he?
I don't know. Big fella.
Yeah. I don't know whether it was him or not that got shot one time. It was after some robbery suspects in a building somewhere, and he was going in after him or something and got shot or something or other. I don't know whether that was him or not.
Did you know the sheriff's wife, Mrs. Jacob Cameron?
Mm-mm.
Did you ever know a fellow by the name of Everett Clark? What about Oliver D. Clawson? He's a judge.
No, I just heard of him, but in Clawson.
Did you ever hear the name of Roy Collins?
Roy Collins?
Policeman?
He was a policeman.
Remember anything about him specifically?
No.
Tall, short?
Uh-uh.
Billy Connors?
No.
Ran the theaters in town.
Billy Connors. I heard of it, I think.
Clyde Cox?
Clyde Cox.
Farmer.
I don't know. There's neighbors over here.